Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Strothers Wars. I am Eric Strothers, and I do love Steel Wars. And each episode, I find a Patreon subscriber to talk about it with. We're still workshopping the name, but that's the goal. Each episode, I am going to talk to a Steel Wars Patreon subscriber and ask them what some of their favorite Steel Wars moments are. In this episode, I got to talk with Rebecca Edwards. She was so cool about it and such a trooper. She was under the weather, and over the course of a couple of sessions, she put this episode together with me. Speaking of Trooper, she does a really, really good Phasma cosplay that I'm hoping she can bring to the next Star Wars celebration. Anyway, let's get to it. Rebecca, how did you first get into Star Wars?
Star Wars, well, I was old enough in terms of being 4 years old for the original release of Star Wars. So that's just, I've aged myself there fully. And
I was the same age then.
There we go. Well, the way it first started was that we were going to the drive-in to see Star Wars. Big long queue to get in. I don't know how long we'd waited to actually get in to see it. And at the time we had a HQ station wagon. So, and Australians will know what car that is. And my parents used to always say, hide in the back so we get you in for free getting into the cinema or the drive-in. And I'd worked out that between the wheel arch and the back seat, I could hide in there perfectly as a four-year-old and nobody knew I was there.
Wait a minute. Were they being serious? Or, I'm sorry, I'm jumping the gun. Go ahead.
So we've turned up at the window and they've said two adults, two children, and the guys looked in the back of the car and said, no, there's one child. And my sister was sitting in the back seat and I was nowhere to be found. So they turned the car upside down looking for me. They couldn't find me. So they've done the U-turn out of the drive-in, going home, and that's when I pop up from my little hiding spot between the wheel hub and where the rear seat of the car was. And I'm a bit sad because I'm wondering why we're not going to see Star Wars. And that led to me getting a bit of a thrashing, and then we had to wait until the movie came out on television. So I guess in a way my first Star Wars experience was not seeing Star Wars. And in a way, I guess that kind of hooked me into wanting to see these movies and to have them as part of my life.
Oh, jeez. Did you get into collecting or the figures at all?
There was a kid that lived down the street from me, and my mum knew his mum, and he had all the Star Wars toys. And that, like, if it came out as a toy, he had it. And I just wanted that collection. And my parents were like, no, that's not for you. You can't have Star Wars. So it sort of just stayed in the back of my head all the time. And that's sort of how I got into Star Wars.
That's cool. That's really cool. I saw the original Star Wars movie in the theater when it came out. And I get teased a lot in my circle of friends for being so old. It's like, give me a break, man. I'm not that old.
We're the originals.
That's right. Exactly. See, you get it.
Yeah.
You get it.
Like, why is this movie so popular? That was the thing. It's like, it's crazy, but it's so fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I can still remember the first time I saw it. I remember it really well, actually. Just parts of it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, during the trench run on the Death Star, this was before all the movie theaters had the stadium-style seating. It was just the gradual slope up, and so I could see better, I would take the fold down seat but leave it folded up and sit on the top edge of the folding part. And okay. In my head I was imagining that I was, you know, in an X-wing And my little boy, who he'll be three at the end of this month, he'll take his toy X-Wing and stand in front of our television when that section of the movie's on and like do his part for the rebellion and stand in front of it like he's, you know, and it just reminds me so much of me. I love seeing that.
That's the thing. It's such a timeless set of movies that anyone could enjoy it. And that parent onto child thing, there's nothing really offensive. They don't date because they're set, you know, a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, but effectively in the future for us. So, yeah, it just has that thing that you can connect with it in some way. That the thing that connected for me was Princess Leia being such a strong character. And that was basically from the time that she said to Luke that he's a little short to be a stormtrooper, I was in. And I'm noticing that these days with kids getting into Rey as a character. It's such a strong role model as a character. And that's so, yeah, you got to love these movies. There's something in them for everyone.
Oh, for sure. I just posted on Facebook the other day that my little girl, she loves Star Wars. And she just turned five. My son, we were playing with his little toys. And he said, I'll be Rey. You know, it to him, the fact that she's a girl has no bearing on how he views her, you know, which I think is fantastic. I really like that.
Well, that's what I was trying to get out the other day when I called into the call-in show, and it just turned into me doing a basic rant because at the time I was standing outside at work. It was freezing temperature. I was getting sick at the time, and I was just letting all this frustration out. So I'm really sorry to you for having to edit that down. I haven't listened to the episode yet, but, yeah, it was just like, oh, I just got to get this out of my head. Well, at least biggest bugger off. There's enough room in the universe for everyone.
So how did you find out about Steel Wars?
Well, I first sort of found out about Steel Saunders because I was bored. It was summertime. All my podcasts had run out. I was looking for some more podcasts. I'd kept hearing about the Green Guide letters coming up as being a good podcast. So I downloaded a few of those episodes and got into that. And then when he started the Steel Wars one, I thought, well, I like this guy, so I may as well listen to his other podcast. And from the first podcast, I was like, hang on, yeah, I do like Star Wars. Why have I shuffled this off to the back corner of the room for so many years? These are awesome films, and they're coming out with more. I've got to get back into this. And so sort of as Steel's podcast has grown, my reappreciation of the movies has grown with it. So that's sort of where I got into Steel Wars from the start. I was actually his number one, not when he's on Patreon, when he's on Bandcamp, the number one supporter. And I'd actually signed up to support that before he'd even announced it.
Nice. Now, let me ask you this. What, do you remember the first episode of Steel Wars that you heard?
Not really. I was at work at the time and I was on my lunch break and it was just like, I just need to chill, relax. And I just sort of zoned out from it. But it was listening from episode one was where I first joined in. And I'll listen to podcasts and there's so much going on. And I kind of like, okay, put that one behind me. And then maybe sometime in the future, I remember this bit from that podcast. And then I'll go back and listen to it again. But in terms of having instant recall of past episodes of anything, forget it. The only things that seem to stick in my memory are Beatles lyrics and obscure facts. So, yeah. If you don't, like the law that you can't take a fishing rod through a Detroit cemetery after dark. Why do I have that in my memory? It'll never affect me, but for some reason my mind has it at the forefront.
Well, that's good information to have.
Well, I hopefully we'll get to Celebration in 2019, so it may come in useful then, but we'll see how it goes.
Oh, that I hope you do that because I'm hoping to go too, and maybe I'll have my first Order Stormtrooper done, and we can walk around.
Yeah, I need to work out a way to get all my Phasma over there. So yeah, but it's a lot of water under the bridge until then.
Do you have an episode that you could say definitively is your favorite? I know that's pretty hard.
Yeah, look, not really an absolute favorite. In terms of the majority of them are just like, okay, this is something interesting. There's something interesting. But I suppose the one that really stands out for me would have to be episode 64 with Leonard Maltin. Because that one, I think, still, he didn't take the next step up in broadcasting. He took the elevator to the top floor. And that it was, you could tell his style was changed. He was showing a lot of respect for Leonard in the way that he interviewed him. And you could see that Leonard was like, hey, I'm actually enjoying this. I'm going to give you even more because we've got this good banter happening. And so I just think that really showed off Steele's range as an interviewer.
Now, you then we had like Empire, which you gave 4 stars to, your highest rated.
Yep.
I always think that, like in retrospect, we're used to it being an amazing film, but it could have gone like a traditional sequel and been a lesser of, you know, like a bad photocopy of the previous film. How did you find Empire that they totally, like they expanded the mythology?
Yeah, well, they sucked me in, as they did many others, deepening the characters and their relationships and really making us care. These were not stick figures, you know, in a visual effects universe. These were characters that lived and breathed and where there was a lot at stake, and you were made to feel that and experience that vicariously through these characters. It just, everything clicks in that movie.
Mm.
At the time, I was a little put off by the fact that it absolutely assumed you had seen Star Wars. If you, I think at the time I was a little, you know, sometimes I got uptight about silly things. And I would say, well, you know, you shouldn't have to have an entrance exam to see a movie.
Yeah.
You know, you should be able to just go see a movie. And this pretty much requires you to have seen Star Wars. Well, duh, everybody saw Star Wars. Shut up, Leonard. You know, stop being so, you know, such a prig.
I like that. I'm a fan of complaints. And it's funny to, like, you're complaining about something. It's like, but everyone's seen it. But still, they shouldn't have had to.
Yeah,
that one was really good. Really good.
That episode, I've actually gone back and listened to that one a few times, and that because it's soothing to listen to, and you learn so much about media in general from Leonard. So, I just think that Steele brought the most out in him.
That's a cool way to look at it. I guess I never really thought about it that way. I always thought about it in reverse, you know, and yeah, that is true. And you could tell that Leonard Maltin was having fun with it. And I think that's great, you know, because I think a lot of people wouldn't expect him to loosen up like that. Now, you mentioned the episode 21, which is the first TFA teaser trailer.
Mm-hmm.
What were your initial thoughts when you heard that?
I, excuse the French, pissed myself laughing at that because the first time I heard it, I just listened to it as the podcast, and I'd already watched the trailer probably 20 times before that, so I knew exactly what all the points were. And then when it was released with the edit of it actually against the footage, it was just hilarious. And that, because not only was it, I'm laughing at the reaction that Steele has to this, it was, that's the same reaction I'm having internally myself, but I wasn't in an environment where I could actually say that myself. So that one really caught me. And the worst thing about it was that I enjoyed it so much. I actually went through all the data on my phone for that month and had a fortnight of no data plan. So I couldn't actually watch or listen to anything else, all because of this one reaction trailer.
All right. Good luck, everyone. This is it. Don't touch me.
Oh. 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 Holy shit. Oh.
God. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Do you want to watch it again?
Yes.
Let's do it again. Do it again.
Where'd it go?
There we go. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Well, I would say that was worth it. If you're going to have to burn it all up, that's a good one to do it on.
Yeah. Whenever he does reactions, it's like, yeah, these are the top shelf stuff.
Yeah, they're some of my favorite moments. And I think, you know, those are the moments where if somebody who had no idea what was going on walked in while I was listening to it, they wouldn't understand.
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, it was one of the San Diego Comic-Con, I think, San Diego Comic-Con blog pods where he was playing one of the VR games.
Yeah. Oh, and that was hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. And in theory, that should be the worst thing to listen to, somebody playing a VR game that you can't see or hear any of the audio from or anything. But somehow that was some great podcasting.
Well, I actually imagined him doing that in that he was so caught in the world of the VR that he actually couldn't move his body physically. So he was just standing there, arms beside legs, just standing in the one spot and groaning and moaning, but his head moving around with all the action, which probably isn't actually what happened, but it's just how I visualized it. And certainly makes it, his reactions certainly make it to me that, like, yeah, this is what's good about Star Wars. You can have that kind of reaction to watching 90 seconds of a trailer where 30 seconds of it is black screen and you're excited about the fact there's a black screen.
Now, episode 34 with Angus Truscott, is there a moment in there that jumps out to you?
Well, that episode, it kind of goes back to my first job as a kid. There's a big radio network here called Triple M, and at the time they were the number one station. They had helicopters, semi-trailers with recording studios, six vehicles going around, big massive caravan that was done up as a giant stereo speaker, and it was just like the ultimate radio station. And I got a job there. And the annoying thing for me was that, yes, I finally got into broadcast media and I'm working at the pinnacle at the top, and I was just too excited. I was like that proverbial kid in the lolly shop, and I lasted there 6 months before being fired because I just wasn't doing my job good enough. And I'm kicking myself over it nowadays that I didn't actually get to stay there at that company. So with Angus Truscott, with him doing work experience on the prequels, that to me was like, oh, I know that feeling that he had. And I could tell the way that he was reliving it again as he went through with Steel, because you're just like, oh, yeah, I saw Darth Vader.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I did this, did that. Oh, and then this. And it's amazing the memories that you have come back up again.
And so through that connection, you got to do work experience.
Yeah, I remember when it was announced that they were filming it here, and I was like, oh, wouldn't that be cool to be an extra or something like that? Like, you always think of being at the camera, and you never think of, like, people that work on Star Wars that you never really think they're behind the camera. You think it just kind of, you know, they have, like, 20 Jedi extras or 20 Rebel extras, whatever. But then it came up, and I think I remember he sent me a photo, and it was, like, the Jedi Starfighter, like, you know, the single...
Yeah, the
And I was like, triangle. Oh, my God, it looks like a Star Destroyer. Like, I'm like, whoa, what are the implications of that? It's all happening. And then he was like, yeah, I'm working on Star Wars. We could... do you want to do work... It was literally him saying, do you want to do work experience on it? In inverted commas, like 9 series of inverted commas. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that. I was like 15, and I was like, yeah, that'd be really good. Let's see what happens.
And so we...
Oh, and then also, sorry, he says, like, I know you have zero interest in carpentry. How about you start the day I finish, and you just kind of watch the movie get made for 4 weeks. It's like, yeah, that's cool. Like, that's really fine by me.
The which is your favourite film?
Oh, Star Wars.
Yeah.
What's everyone say? Because then I want to...
Everyone says...
The Empire Strikes Back. They think they're supposed to say.
No, everyone says what their favourite film is.
Yeah. What's everyone's favourite film? The Empire Strikes Back.
Empire, Star Wars. I'm a Jedi man myself.
Really?
Yup, yup.
Do you find it like kind of like a anticlimactic after all that? I always have a problem like in the last like 10 years of my life, and I always meet girls and they never watch Star Wars because they're girls. And then you're like, if you want to get the goods, you got to watch Star Wars. And then I make them watch that, like everybody else.
Is that your pickup line?
It's a mating ritual, isn't it?
So wait. So what's that quote? If you want to get the goods,
you got to watch Star Wars. Yeah. Like, let's take a 12-hour block, 14 for toilet breaks and food and discussion. And we'll do all of that, but also, like, hey, this is an off-mic conversation.
No such thing on this podcast. Yeah. Now,
our favourite episode. Yeah,
I know, but I just want to chime in about that. You just sparked a memory. When C-3PO flew, and I was little, and then afterwards he goes, I didn't know I had it in me. I was just like, you didn't have it in you. I'm going to fry him. Luke did that. You're just a droid. Shut up.
Like, he's like the worst character when you think about it. Like, he accidentally takes credit for everything. See, well, part of the work experience here, Anthony Daniel, there's this scene that was never in episode 2. And it sucks. I don't know if it's any scripts or anything.
Oh, happened. I don't know what you're going to talk
about. And Padme dresses him.
Yeah.
And Natalie Portman wasn't there that day, and he, like, tested out of me. And I was, like, 15, with a huge, like, erection, basically, because the guy, the 80-year-old who played C-3PO was testing his lines out on me, and he's like, oh, do you mind just doing this? I've got to, like, block this scene or whatever for 20 minutes and figure out the movements when they place the parts on me. And it would have been a really cool scene, I think, and it's kind of lame, but it's so weird. He picked, like, a weird 15-year-old kid sitting there to test his scene on, and I'm like, isn't this a professional film where they have, like, actors to test scenes on?
But if you were, like a real horny droid, you could watch that scene of Padme dressing C-3PO in reverse.
Yeah.
And it'd be just like, oh, yeah, take off my elbow joint, yeah. What was your first day on the set?
First day, it was kind of like, well, I actually have a prop here from set because I stole everything.
And so not only was it exciting listening to the things that he'd done during his time there, and the way that he's chill and relaxed about it, like, yeah, just hanging out with George Lucas' son, it was fine, we pranked people, all that kind of stuff. I was like, yeah, I know exactly what space you're in when you're doing that. And so it brought up memories for me from 30 years nearly previously of my first job.
I can honestly say I've never had a job that cool, so I'm pretty jealous.
It was an awesome job because what we used to do is we used to drive around in these four-wheel drives. You do four locations in a day. And you turn up anywhere and you had so much power because people wanted to win something from the radio station and you could basically make them do anything to get an icy cold can of Coke. It was crazy what people would do just to say they won something from Triple M. So, yeah, it was an awesome job.
Tell me about episode 49 with Darren Hayes.
Darren Hayes. Now, Triple M, that station I worked at, just to give a bit of context here, they were the rock station. And Darren Hayes' music, that was more of the pop. And so it was like chalk and cheese. So I never really listened to pop music growing up. It just wasn't my genre. And then give me a hard, fast 4/4 and I'm into it. But all this soppy stuff, no, forget it. So when Darren Hayes came up as an episode, I was actually surprised of, oh, wow, he's actually a Star Wars fan. And so then I actually started to listen back a bit on his music and listening to him as a person, all of his life experiences and things like that. I was like, this is actually really interesting. I maybe shouldn't have written off his music so early. And then the funny thing out of that was that about a week after listening to the episode, I'm at the petrol station filling up my car and the Savage Garden song, I Would Fly to the Moon and Back, comes on over the music of the petrol station. And I'm just standing there like, I wonder if that moon is Endor. I'm sure that's why he was written. So now whenever I hear one of these songs, I'm trying to find a Star Wars reference in it.
Oh my gosh, I'm never going to hear that song the same way now. That didn't occur to me at all.
Let's get to, what is your first memory of Star Wars?
I love this question. You will relate to this as an Australian. International listeners might not understand. I call it the ECCA, which was the Brisbane Exhibition. Americans might know it as a state fair. But in our state fair, the Brisbane Exhibition, there was a thing called a show bag, which is like a novelty plastic bag. And every year, different people, like it could be Mattel or like a crisp company like Sunny Boy.
Pretty much anything that a 4 to 15-year-old child might be into, whether it be chewing gum, a brand of chocolate, a movie, Kiss, that was a big one.
Kiss was huge. And so there was this, I guess it was in 1978, there was a Star Wars show bag and they had an advertisement for it on television. I hadn't seen the movie, but we had the novelization and I used to stare at, maybe it was Hildebrand, I don't know what the artwork was, but the cover of that novel, which was the very early Star Wars artwork, and the Star Wars show bag fascinated me as a child. So I didn't really know anything about it, but I wanted it so badly, and I never saw Star Wars at the cinema. I saw Empire at the... We were pretty poor at the time, and my parents had separated, and we were living in a trailer park. Can you play some violins here? If not, I'll...
It sounds more like we should be playing a banjo.
My dad was trying to suck up to us, and so he didn't want to see the film, but he took the whole family to the drive-in, which was a big deal. And I remember he snored all the way through it. I sat on my mother's lap, and Empire Strikes Back changed my life. Yeah, that was it.
That's dope.
Yep.
And how long did you stick with, like, you know, Empire sort of blew your mind.
Yeah.
Were you like a Star Wars fan all through high school? And
totally. So it was the perfect year. That year is my... There's a video, you can find it online. It's called Happy Christmas by Darren Hayes. And it's all about my love of Star Wars, because that year, it really was the poorest that we ever were. And we lived in a trailer park and we had like a Christmas 1980. We had like a big rooster chicken in a park for our Christmas dinner. But my mum had worked two jobs and she bought me 24 Star Wars Men, Kenner figurines. Happiest memory of my life. And just even back then as a child, really understanding the sacrifice that she'd made for my happiness. I mean, our lives were terrible, but I felt like a prince.
Mm.
Had those toys. The interminable wait for Return of the Jedi was excruciating for me, but I remained a fan all the way through. I think Luke in his Jedi cloak and a Gamorrean guard with the two new figurines that I got. My first vision of Return of the Jedi was Ralph McQuarrie paintings and seeing Bib Fortuna, pictures of Jabba's palace, thinking, what is going on here? I'd had no idea. There was no internet, no way of knowing, unless you went to the bookstore 2 weeks before the movie came out like I did and you bought the Return of the Jedi storybook.
Ah.
So I was the kid that rented...
The one with Luke on the cover?
Luke, the green lightsaber, yep. I was the kid that went to school and went, Darth Vader dies! Princess Leia is Luke's sister! And Yoda dies! I said that. I was the first spoiler. I'm going to take credit for that. I told it to everyone in my school.
I know, and I mean, this is one of the fun things that comes out of this kind of Steel Wars experience. You pick up on things that you never would have experienced otherwise because he has such a diverse range of people that he interviews. And so then you go off on these tangents of finding other bits and pieces, and it's all fun.
Now, has there been an interview guest that completely shocked you at the fact that, you know, like for example, this, where you find out that they're a Star Wars fan and you had no idea? Was there anybody that just like came out of left field and you didn't know what to think about it?
One that actually hasn't happened at this point in time. Actually, I suppose I could put this into two categories. One was Lee Sales as a Star Wars fan. Would never have picked that, given the type of interviewing she does on the 7:30 report. She's this hard-hitting political journalist, but she's right into a Star Wars. But the big one for me is one that hopefully still gets as an interview is Lindy Burns, who's an ABC radio presenter in Melbourne. And to hear that she's a Star Wars fan, because when I was living in Melbourne, I tuned into her show every day. It was just very uplifting. So I can't wait to hear that actually happen. So hopefully Steele wasn't lying when he said that he's got it in the works. Because, that's the one I'm really looking forward to. And once again, really surprised that she's a massive Star Wars fan. And yet at the same time didn't click, given that her Twitter handle is Ewoks something. I have to find that one. But yeah, it's like, hang on, why did I not click on this?
Is there a guest that you would love to see him have on?
I think you'd have to go with Mark Hamill. I think the first 10 minutes of that interview would just be Steele sitting there with his mouth wide open going, not being able to get words out because he's finally met his idol. Because you could see when he interviewed Harrison Ford how much he was holding back the excitement, the white knuckle on the fence of, oh my God, I'm meeting Harrison Ford. So for him to step that up with Mark Hamill, I think that would be the ultimate experience for him.
Oh my gosh, I would love that. I would love that for him. I'd love that for us.
I got a feeling that if he did interview him, the first question he'd ask is, so can you ignite the green for me? As though he just carries the lightsaber around with him at all times for this kind of moment.
Well, I would bet that just in case of emergency, Steele would have one on him, just in case Mark needed one.
I don't want to know where he's hiding it.
Yeah, no. So tell me about the special mention that you had of episode 30, the questions answered.
Yeah. Okay. So when you drive from Melbourne to Adelaide, it's a really boring road. And it's like you leave Melbourne and after you've been driving for about 2 hours, there's basically nothing until you get to Adelaide. The highlight being a big concrete koala at Dadswell Bridge. And it's as I say, I've driven that road myself many times. It's really boring to drive it. So to drive it and entertain yourself by doing a podcast over that time, I can see how Steele would have thought, yeah, I'll just do this for half an hour and that'll be fine. And then it turns into a nearly 3 hour episode. And that as he's just counting the same tree as you go along. And he just went off on tangents. And it was just this wonderful stream of consciousness from Steele that really got me going. With that episode, the fact that he was like, if I keep answering these questions, I don't have to feel like I'm doing this drive and it'll be a lot shorter. So I'll just keep going and going and going, a bit like I've done in answering this question.
It's been great. Now, what would you say to somebody who is not already a Patreon supporter for Steele?
You look at the pricing of it. It's a cup of coffee a month kind of thing. Now, I'm on a tight budget here myself, but I still put in towards it. And I think you certainly get your money's worth with Steele.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, is there something that you would like to say to him in this?
Yeah. For me, Steele Saunders is the Star Wars fan I wish I had the time to be. Because in so many ways, I live my Star Wars fandom life vicariously through him. Like for one example is I use him as my spoiler filter. If something is Steele approved, and I'll put a trademark on that, then I know it's okay to actually watch that spoiler or to hear that bit of the film. And it's done me really well so far with The Force Awakens and with Rogue One that I've gone into the movies knowing, okay, there's something here for me to be excited about, but I've still been blown away by the movie without knowing, oh, this is going to happen and that kind of thing. So for me, I think anyone who doesn't have the time to be the Star Wars fan they want to be, Steele is your man.
Oh my gosh, that is fantastic. That is like the best tagline ever. That is really good. Well, Rebecca, thank you so much for doing this. And I know you don't feel well today. I really appreciate you powering through. You've been awesome. And I just can't thank you enough.
Eric, it's been an absolute pleasure. I wouldn't have gotten out of bed for anyone less than yourself. So it's been great to record this with you, and hopefully some more people get online as Patreons and enjoy the fine, sweet, sweet content that Steele puts out.
Well, guys, there you go. The first episode of Strothers Wars. I had a super good time doing this, and I hope you guys had a good time listening to it. The episodes that Rebecca chose from were great, and it was so cool for me to go back and listen to those again specifically, and I hope you'll go back and check them out too. And for the Patreon supporters, if you would be interested in coming on the show and talking to me about your favorite episodes of Steel Wars, reach out, let us know. And if you're not a Patreon supporter, now you have a little bit of an idea of what you're missing. So head on over to patreon.com/steelwars. Take a look around. Until next time, I am out of here. And may that force be with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.